hip.
He's still keeping the Hollywood people like what's his name Cummings.
Yes, I interviewed him too. I met him too.
Oh, you did?
Here in Boston, yes. I interviewed him and we hit it off. I liked him very much.
Well, but you know that he looks at least 20 years younger than his actual age.
That's true.
But I remember he came to Grand Rapids one time and he showed us a suicide dinner. He took a piece of baker's bread and made a ball and it bounced, you know. And he said things like junk foods, we call them now, you know, ice cream, it was
right.
Bad. And he maintains that you cannot have a disease in a clean body. And he said that if people would use their automobile, if they would neglect their automobiles the way we neglect our bodies, well, they would break down too, you know.
That's true. I remember when we were kids, you know, you'd say, like a glass of milk and bread and butter and bacon and eggs, there's enough cholesterol in that, you know, to float an army. And everyone would think that you have to have eggs every day, eggs and bacon and bread and butter and milk and cream in your coffee. We find out now that's not a particularly healthy breakfast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, especially with people with cholesterol, a high cholesterol level. Well, anyways, are you healthy? Are you a healthy woman? Do you take care of your body, lady?
Well, I think I'm neglecting it, but I do think that if I went on what he calls his number six diet, that makes you feel like a new person.
What's the number six diet?
Well, he says that the beauty of that is that you never have to go hungry. You have fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
Except those that are starchy, like bananas and sweet potatoes.
But bananas are good for you.
I know they're good for you, but I'm talking about what they call this number six diet.
I just had one. Oh, I'm off the number six. Go ahead. What else do they have? What?
Well, first I better tell you about when he was in, when he was young, handsome and young man, he had tuberculosis of the hip, and they were going to take his leg, remove his leg in order to save his life, and
yes.
An old Viennese doctor said, if you put yourself in my hands and follow me, my routine, what would you call it? I guess you'd call it routine. He said, I guarantee to save your leg. And he was the one that put him on this diet where you eat all the fruits and vegetables except those that are protein, like peas and beans, and starches, and all sorts of vegetables and fruits of all kinds.
Except bananas.
No, you can't have any starchy foods or any protein.
Hey, I should get, maybe we'll get him
on. Well, I'm talking about what they call number six.
Yeah, well, listen, hey, we have to go, man. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to maybe ask my producer to get Gaylord Houser on. And we'll have him as a guest one day next week, okay?
Well, anyway, this doctor saved his life.
Well, that's wonderful. Evangeline, did you ever hear of Gordon Lightfoot?
No.
He's a vocalist. I think that you'll like him. Channing likes him very, very much. It's called Cherokee Bend, and I've got to get the news.
So well, now listen, before you go, I want to be able to see, to hear him.
Oh, we'll promote it a few nights before, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. So long, Evangeline.
And thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Nice to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
His father was a man who could never understand the shame on a red man's face. So they lived in the hills and they never came down to the street in the white man's place. Early in the spring when the snow had disappeared, they came down with a bag of skins. In the fall of the year of 1910, Daddy died by the road down in Cherokee Bend. Daddy didn't like what the white man said about the dirty little kid at his side. Daddy didn't like what the white man did, nor the deal or the way that he lied. There was blood on the floor of the government store when the men took his daddy away. And the boy stayed by till he come to his end, and he run like the wind in Cherokee Bend. Now the mother was alone and the winter was at hand, and she prayed to her spirit kin. It was warm in the lodge in the Kentucky hills on the day when the boy came in. Thought that it never would end, and he told her the tale of the terrible affair. reality there. Daddy didn't like what the white man said, but the dirty little kid is the same. Daddy didn't like what the white man did, nor the deal of the way that he lied. Three long days and three long nights, they wept in the morning band. She returned to her work and her wheel, and then they tried to forget about Cherokee Fair.
Plays song for Red Eyes. Movies, theaters, cultural events, they're all on Pat Mitchell's Entertainment Report this morning on Radio 103. The Spirit of New England, WBZ Boston, Group W Westinghouse Broadcasting. It's 58 degrees in Boston. Tonight's low will be 56. I'm Streeter Glick reporting at 3 o'clock. WBZ News. Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin goes into a second day of talks with President Ford at the White House Thursday. Israeli leader reportedly told Ford Wednesday his country is willing to make new and specified concessions and renew step-by-step negotiations with Egypt. BZ's Jim Anderson reports.
Diplomatic sources say that the first day's talks went well, with Prime Minister Rabin pleased by the atmosphere and the friendly reception. According to diplomatic sources, the Americans and Israelis spent most of the preliminary discussions talking about the various negotiating options, another interim agreement, a return to the Geneva Conference, or some combination of those two. The Israelis have expressed a preference for another interim step and not a resumption of the Geneva Conference, but they want to have some assurance of American military and economic support after that agreement. Tomorrow, Rabin again meets President Ford at the White House and has lunch at the State Department. He also sees Secretary of Defense Schlesinger during this visit and will hold a news conference at Blair House. The talks so far are described by diplomatic sources as preliminary but satisfactory. and Rabin is reported to be reassured by the American attitude. This is Jim Anderson, Group W News, the State Department.
White House spokesman Ron Nesson says that President Ford has asked various departments of the executive branch for suggestions on reorganizing the nation's various intelligence operations. Ford reportedly wants the opinions of the Secretaries of State, Defense, and Treasury, along with the Attorney General and the CIA Director. In a copyrighted article, the Cleveland Plain Dealer quotes Ohio Congressman James Stanton. They're saying at least one foreign leader was killed in an assassination plot formulated by the CIA. The newspaper learned independently that the leader either was Patrice Lumumba of the Congo, Dominican Republic leader and dictator Rafael Trujillo, or General Rene Schneider of Chile. Stanton is chairman of the House subcommittee investigating the CIA. WBC News Time, 2 minutes after three.
It's spring cleaning time. And time to turn the great yearly throwaway into the great spring giveaway. The Salvation Army can recycle just about anything, so Beezy asks you, please, don't throw it away. Call the Salvation Army at 536-7540 and recycle it. 536-7540 for the Salvation Army's pickup service.
5 days after Belgium selected the U.S. F-16 warplane over a French fighter bomber, anonymous phone callers threatened to bomb Brussels airport unless the deal is called off. The Brussels government is expected to win a vote of confidence over the issue in the Belgian Assembly Thursday. Britain's foreign secretary says the country is ready to convene a constitutional conference to seek a settlement of the 9-year-old independence conflict with the breakaway African nation of Rhodesia. He says he's sending his deputy to Salisbury soon for primary talks with Rhodesian leaders. One woman was killed Wednesday when police stormed a prison barricade near Vancouver where three inmates held 15 hostages. The victim apparently was killed by police bullets. The three prisoners were captured alive, but two were wounded, one seriously. Differences between the United States and France over international monetary issues blocked creation of a new world monetary order Wednesday. The dispute followed 3 days of complex discussions among finance ministers from industrialized and developing nations. And now the weather for Boston and vicinity. For the rest of this morning, cloudy with chance of showers by morning, lows around 60. Thursday, occasional rain with chance of a few thunderstorms, high 70 to 75. Thursday night and Friday, partly cloudy with chance of a few showers, lows near 60, highs in the 70s. Probability of precipitation, 40% this morning, 80% Thursday, and 40% Thursday night. In Boston now, it's 58 degrees. I'm sorry for the folks who want to go to the beach. I'm sorry. Hi, sports fans of the BZ scoreboard. Ace Click reporting. In the American League, Boston 9, the White Sox 7. This game went 14 innings. Other scores. First game, California 14, Detroit 7. Second game, California Detroit suspended after 8 innings because of 1 a.m. curfew, with Detroit leading 5-3. Yankees 5, Minnesota 1. Oakland 5, Milwaukee 3. Kansas City 7 and Cleveland 1. Baltimore 9, Texas 8. Other scores in the National League. Cincinnati 3, St. Louis 1, San Francisco 8, Philadelphia 3, Houston 5, and Pittsburgh 1, San Diego 3, Montreal 1, New York 2, Los Angeles 1, the Cubs at Atlanta postponed because of rain. That's it, sports fans, the top story of the hour. Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin goes into a second day of talks with President Ford at the White House Thursday. And that's the 3 o'clock WBZ report. I'm Streeter Glick, WBZ News. Now, back to the Larry Glick Show. Let's take a call, see we have 254-5678. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Rabbi.
Hello, who?
Hey, you know, Larry.
Hello, who? What'd you say? Hello, who?
Mr. Rabbi.
Yes, hello.
You know, sometimes you're really evil. You're really evil.
That's I know that.
Because I'll tell you why.
Yes.
You told some lady on that rebroadcast, there was, which was very interesting.
Yes.
I enjoyed it tremendously.
Yes.
You told that lady that I had 18 Brandy Alexanders.
I subtracted them. That's right. There was 66.
There was only 11 of them.
Oh, but...
There was only 11. You know that I wouldn't drink more than I could hold. So anyway, that was only 11, and I got, let me see, 66 from
66.
11. No, that's
55.
Wrong.
55.
And then I had 28 between Tuesday and...
Oh, 28
from 55.
7 is 27.
27 more to go. Do you think I can... I was wondering...
Yes, you can do it.
Hey, I was wondering if Mrs. Goose Bay would like me to celebrate her birthday.
Holy... You'd... Oh, my...
See, that would take me right into August.
Right.
That would... See, and her birthday's in August.
I'm really not evil.
No, not really. But I have some tremendous names here that I thought you might... get on the phone.
All right.
Now, there's a Mr. Gordon Ross,
yes,
who lives up in Maine.
Yes, yes.
And plays that beautiful piano music. Do you know the...
What?
A matter of fact, you taped one for him. You know the piano you play with your feet?
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Where is it? Yeah.
Now, he's a constable up there.
How do you know that?
And you were quite rude to him. You know, do you realize, Harry...
Yeah. Yes.
I'm going to tell you this because I know nobody's listening.
Go ahead.
Do you realize that you shot a constable off the air?
I did that.
Yes, you did. And I think that you thought that he was stolen. And he is a constable and a very well-liked gentleman up in his area of the woods.
How do you know so much about the woods?
I don't talk. I just tell things.
Yeah.
And then another one that I'd like to have you call up some Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So that I could sing with him is Dave Maynard.
You really... Hey, you've got something for that, Dave Maynard. I'm going to tell his wife.
Oh, you don't have to tell his wife. I only sing with him over the phone.
There's something between the two of you.
Just get out of here. You know darn well that I wouldn't go out with a married man even if I wasn't as gorgeous as I am. Because only you and I know how gorgeous I am.
Well...
And another one you should call up, really, yes, truly. Oh, you know, I dreamed the other night about Jerry Williams.
Tell me the dream, Al. I'll interpret it for you. What did you dream? Tell me.
I dreamed that he got a big job in Washington, D.C.
Doing what?
On the TV as a big shot news person.
No kidding. A news commentator or a talk show program?
Well, like he does now.
In Washington, huh?
Yes. A big job. He moved his whole family out. And another one I'd like you to call would be Manny Malik.
Yeah.
Now you know how wonderful he used to play the mandolin.
Yeah.
And he would be a tremendous call.
Yeah, but he can't play those instruments now.
Why?
They're all in the hot shot.
Why don't you help him get it out, Larry? You could help him get the Washington Post out.
He's never asked me for any help.
Well, you don't have to ask. People don't have to ask. You have to, you have to offer it because sometimes people are ashamed to ask. You know, they feel as though, well, gee, if you like them, you'll offer it to them. Of course, sometimes you offer to help people, the wrong people help, and they follow you up, you know, but then that's their conscience that's going to bother them.
Yeah.
You know, if they're evil, they're evil. And I also had a dream about you being on TV.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Of the Invisible Man. Oh, that dream cracked me up. And all you could hear was your voice. Oh, that's good. That's really good. Guess how much I paid for a loaf of bread today? Come on, Larry. I'll give you the silent treatment. Now, that's a cute joke.
Okay.
I paid 99 cents for a loaf of bread today. Hey, do you have a phone in your car?
No.
Oh, another thing I wanted to tell you. A friend of mine from Florida told me that all the newsmen and the radio men down in Florida are using your stuff. They use your name, Streeter, with their last name when they tell the news. He told me to pass that out to you.
Who was it? Who told you?
A friend of mine that I know that lives down there. Now, let me see now. What else? I got such a lot. And there's that, do you know that in England, they're closing out all the nudie shows and the pubs?
No, how come?
Yeah, and they're bringing in pianos and they're having sing-alongs and the stuff. Well, because the owners of the pubs are sick and tired of seeing all these little babes running around in the nude.
Yeah.
I mean, after all, that does get sickening after a while. And never mind thinking of what I look like. But anyway, you know very well that Pat Cooper said to you when he went in the first time he ever went in to a place where they were serving with tapas, he didn't know where to put his eyes.
That's right. That's right. And as a matter of fact, I remember that. He said after 30 seconds, you'd wish that they'd put some clothes on.
Yeah, I think that's terribly embarrassing. To a lot of men, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, it was to him.
Most of the time, men are sneaky. They like to, you know, sneak a little look, but they don't want anybody to catch them.
And there's no mystery then. If everything is out in front, you say, oh, lady, watch out for my drink, will you, lady?
Watch where you're leaning, lady.
Right.
Get your ham out of my salad.
Oh,
well, anyway, getting back to what was I saying? That was a very good repeat show. Very interesting. I enjoyed it.
I do the best I can. You know, every, from 4 to 5 now, we're just like out of state calls.
And
we're getting some good calls. A lot of people write in, they say we can't get in. And now we open up 4 to 5.
Yeah, that's a very good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going down to that Ace recording thing. I'm going to...
What are you going to do? Clean up? What are you going to clean up down there? Oh, a record.
I'm going to make a record. I'm going to make a...
What are you going to... A record? What are you going to eat more than anybody else up there?
I don't want to get in the book of the Guinness Book of Records.
All right, what kind of record are you going to make?
I'm going to make a record, and it'll save me going out in the fall. You know, I go out every fall, and in the springtime, I go around to the different colleges.
Yeah.
And tell the girls how to keep their body beautiful. And I get just as much right, Larry.
Yes.
And don't you be laughing. I have just as much right to go around the colleges in my beautiful figure and tell those college kids how to keep their figure nice as these young girls have to get on TV and tell people how their hands are young as their daughters and everything.
Yeah,
and they use makeup and all this stuff.
I know what you mean.
They always use young kids in their really 20s or late teens or something.
I know what you mean, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. That's the worst kind.
Of course.
Right.
I mean, you know, after all, Larry.
I could see you doing a TV commercial on your hands and knees scrubbing a kitchen floor.
Hey, you know what? You know the commercial I like?
Huh.
I like that girl that has her head in the oven. And the woman, she said her mother said something about she'd get a good man, and all she ever got was so many years with her head in the oven. Have you ever seen that commercial?
No, I don't get to watch TV too often. No. I'm with radio. Sing me a little song, will you please? Because I want maybe...
Hey,
did you know the people Ace Recording are friends of mine? Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. I've been on a diet for 3 weeks. You know what I lost?
Your appetite.
21 days.
Yeah. You're not on a diet.
Who said I wasn't?
Are you on a diet?
Of course.
I'm
on a diet all the time.
Poor.
Never lose an ounce. I'll have to get over there to Brookline one of these.
Well, listen, Olga. There's a way. There's a way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you have to have the will.
That's right. If we don't, we lock you in the closet.
Yeah, but I mean, where are all these guys that are crazy about fat girls like Manny Malik?
He's the only one. He's the only one that likes fat women.
There was a man that went into to one of those bureaus that have that make dates with you leave your name and address and tell them what kind of a girl you like.
A dating service.
A dating bar or something. A dating service, yeah. And this man went in there, and this woman was talking about it on TV one time, and she said that this man wanted a woman, but she had to weigh over 300 pounds.
Oh, that's a fetish. He likes the real fat ones.
Well,
all that meat, no potatoes.
You know, I have four brothers, you know, and the flirty brother loves chubby women. The one that flirts all the time. He loves chubby women. And the oldest brother who is very sedate, big shot. He likes very thin. He says, the nearer the bone, the sweeter the meat.
That's right.
That's how he talks about women. So it takes all kinds. What kind of women do you like, Larry?
I like it.
Raquel Welch type?
No, Donna Lee type.
Yeah, I know that.
All right.
Well, okay then, Mr. Glick. I'm very glad you come. When is Mr. Controversy going to call up? I like to hear him talk to you.
Hey, Mr. Controversy, call up. I like to get something going tonight.
Yeah, he's very interesting.
Big, I'd like to have. He said he'd give anything. He'd give $100 to charity if he could have you and Peter on the air just to stuff
in. I don't like the idea the way you take right over. If he wants to give $100, why don't he give it to Vito and I? We can split it. Why give it to your charity? Who are you?
Charity begins
at home, Larry.
But it's his 100. He can do whatever he wants with it.
Well, all right, then. Well, then don't try to talk him into giving it to you for your charity.
There was something else
you wanted it.
The Glick Building Fund.
What kind of a building are you building, Larry?
Well, it's a little house, but we put a lot of money in it.
Oh, I see. A little house by the side of the road.
You be a good girl, and we'll have...
I wish you would get that...
What?
That piano thing that you take from that Mr. Ross and play it, because that was pretty.
Okay.
I forget what the name of it was.
I'll see if I can find it. I'll like it, okay?
Okay, go.
It'll be good, would it?
I try hard.
Stay on the diet. Keep your mouth out of that refrigerator. So long.
Bye-bye.
2545678, Ron WBC. Hello. Hello, Quinn, if you can hear me.
Who?
Yes.
Yes, the Larry Glick Show.
Yes.
Yes. Could I possibly speak with Mr. Glick, please?
This is Mr. Glick. How are you?
Yes. Well, let me turn off the radio.
Okay,
huh?
I'll turn mine off, too. Wait a minute.
Fine.
It's 19 after 3. Yes.
Let me say one thing
before you start. Hey, that kid, Vincenzo from East Boston, I told you to stay on the line and give Eddie the number of your grandfather in Sicily, and you hung up. No, not you. I'm talking to this other Vincenzo. How is he going to call your uncle, your grandfather in Sicily without the phone number? Okay, go ahead.
Do you know that my name is...
Oh, just the first... Hey, folks, just give me your first name, please. What is your first name?
Bob.
Bob, okay.
Yes.
Go ahead, Bob.
Mr. Glick, I appreciate your program.
Thank you, Bob.
Very, very good program.
Thank you, Bob.
And I'm telling you something, you're going to go growth places in this business.
Thank you, Bob.
I'm telling you the truth. Because I waited hours to get on the show, and I would like to point out...
Go ahead.
For myself, when I was a kid, I was brought up in the ghettos, and in the streets of South Boston.
Right.
And I went from corner to corner. Do you know how Jesse James, I know how Jesse James felt when he was a kid. When you could box, I had Tommy Sullivan, I don't know if you know him. He was my manager. And I had Paul Conley and Happy Farron, my father, Matty McDonough. They taught me all the intricate types of boxing.
Right.
Then I went down when Cassius Clay, his first starting out, went over the Olympics, wasn't that? And I went over to Sam Silverman's gym, and there was a boxer in the whole place, and I didn't push my weight around, but there was nobody to take.
What weight did you fight?
I fought middle and heavy.
All right. Go ahead.
And the Marines that took all titles in Marines.
Did you ever win a title?
All titles.
What was the best title you won?
Golden Gulf Championship that they ever had in any sector of the Boston. As a longshoreman, I fought a lot of longshoremen down there. That's 20 years, right?
Right.
I won on the fight, Cassius Clay. I went down with Sam Silverman's gym, French Street gym. And I begged and pleaded, can I please fight Cassius Clay when he first took the first fight he had. Do you know what the story was?
No.
That he, I don't have the money behind me, and I'll never get the money behind me.
Has Bob McDonough coming out? He shoots a left and a right. He shoots another left and a right.
Nick.
Huh?
Cassius Clay would be,
Cassius Clay?
Simple money.
What do you want?
Easy money.
What do you want to fight him now?
I would, fight him any day of the week.
How old are you now, Bob?
36.
36? Ah, what do you weigh?
210.
Huh?
206.
206, how tall are you?
6'1".
And you're in pretty good shape?
I work out every day.
No kidding.
Yes, sir.
And you, how old is Cassius Clay?
I think I got a couple of years on him.
He's 34?
I think so. But I could never fight the man.
Why?
I would like to.
Because
you... to fight him to bring the championship like John L. Sullivan to the back of Boston. And I would fight him.
Well, who would you have to fight?
He wouldn't dare survive with the kid.
Now, how many, who have you beat, Bob? What name?
Well, if I give you the names, we'd only come back on me.
What?
I've beat some of the top 10, two or three shots.
What about McNeely? Did you fight McNeely?
Tom McNeely?
Yeah.
No, I have never. I've never had the privilege.
Yeah.
He was promoted by his father.
Right.
But that was a joke.
What? McNeely?
Yes.
Why?
It's a joke. If I yesterday I should say, is I saw a man, then I lost interest in the boxing game, where, when they said, well, you don't have the money behind you. You have to have money behind you to be a good boxer. Cassius Clay would be eating cake. In my day, Clay would be just, it would be nothing.
Now, wait a minute.
I'd say second round, he wouldn't, he'd be sketchy. Really, his eyes would be closed, his nose would be broken, and his jaw would be broken.
Now, he's fought a lot of great men, and he's still not marked up, Bob.
Well, listen, he's never fought a good left hander. Never.
Hey, John, you think this guy could take Cassius Clay? Huh? Hey, John thinks you could do it.
I know I can do it for years. I know.
What about Sam Silverman? Did you talk to him?
Well, who could fight him?
I mean,
He stole what to do from New York.
Oh.
Boxing in Boston would be superb because they're a young Irishman.
Right.
A young Irishman.
Well, you're not so young. You're 36. That's not young for the boxer.
36? Hey, listen. I forgot more than Cassius Clay will ever know.
Yeah, but I mean, 36 is, that's kind of over the hill for fighting, isn't it?
Don't matter. I'm still in torpedo shape.
Torpedo shape. Well.
Torpedo shape.
What's your last name so I'll remember?
McDonough.
Bob McDonough.
Bob McDonough from South Boston.
Fighting Bob McDonough.
No. Listen.
What?
I got beaten in South Boston. There are good boys in the streets in South Boston.
Who beat you in Southie?
Well, there's a few. Some nights you ain't as good as...
Do you know Bobby Quinn?
Bob Quinn?
Yeah.
Sure, I fought him.
Did you?
Yes.
How'd you do?
Good.
Who beat?
I won.
No, you didn't knock him out?
Outside the
Telecafe
in South Boston.
What?
Outside the Telecafe in South Boston, I beat him.
Outside the
Telecafe? About 3 o'clock in the morning. All right,
that's the
old tunnel.
Yeah. Clean
shape.
Oh, yeah. That's not where...
I come out the better half.
Yeah, he must have been on it. Had he been drinking?
I was looking down his beautiful girls.
Right, and he said...
I was only 21 years old when I took him up.
Yeah, and he said, what are you doing, kid?
Well, I don't know.
You said, I'm just looking, and then...
Is the element of surprise.
That's right.
Speed will overtake weight, height, anything else like that.
Now,
anything in by 2 inches.
Now, you're a longshoreman?
As of 20 years. I started off down at Dice when I was 14 years old.
Yeah. In your opinion, who is the best heavyweight champion of the world, ever?
Ever? In my lifetime?
Yeah. No, as far as you can recall.
As far as I can recall, I'd say Rocky Marciano. Give it and take it.
Did you ever see him fight?
Yes, I did. Mostly all his fights that he ever performed.
I interviewed him a lot then when I used to work in Miami, and we became good acquaintances. I like him.
I hang around Miami.
Huh?
I hang around the Fountain Blue.
You do?
Yes.
That's where I met him, at the Fountain Blue. That's where I met
him. Across the street in a little bar there.
Yeah.
Sunny Room. I hang around there, man.
That's where I met Rocky Marciano, at the park, at the Fontainebleau.
Yeah, but across the street, the little sign room there.
No, but I met him in the lobby.
Oh, well, the lobby. All the good people go across the street to the Surrey Room.
Yeah.
Fontainebleau is a ripoff, in my opinion.
Yeah, it all depends. As a matter of fact, I went there once, and I was very unhappy.
Where's that?
That's the Fontainebleau. I stayed there once.
Go across the street. There's a little bar.
No, I don't want to go. I don't want to go and hang out in the bar, Bob.
I'm not telling you to hang around the bar.
I like to get some sunshine down. I like a little sunshine.
If you look at me.
Yeah.
Honest to God, I look just as dark as gorgeous.
Yeah.
But just as tall. And just as muscular.
Yeah.
And I know I can beat the man. That's all I'm telling you.
Okay. See, I'm
beginning. I'm a South Boston boy.
I'm beginning to believe
it. John L. Sullivan.
You're better than John L.?
Well, no. I never said I was better than anybody, but I would just like that.
No.
The boxing promoters will say to this different people.
They're listening because Sam and his wife listen to this program.
Well,
maybe they'll give you another chance.
How
do they get in touch with you, Bob?
Fender?
How do they get in touch with you?
How can they get in touch with me?
Yeah.
Call me up from my home.
In South Boston?
No. I live in North Jersey now.
Oh.
Lives on Crabtree Road.
Bob McDonough.
Crabtree. I'm in Crabtree. I got my own boat. Never here for that. I got my own team off the back. Seriously, I had an automobile accident, and my leg is gone, but I would like to teach.
Your leg is gone. How are you going to fight Cassius Clay with your leg gone?
It's coming back.
Oh, okay.
Riding bike every day.
Attaboy, Bob.
No, it's
no life. Well, okay, listen, hey, Kid McDonough, we gotta go. So long.
I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I hope that all the listeners do believe that a good Irishman.
What part of Ireland are you from?
My ancestors come from Galway.
Well, you're an American, you're not an Irishman.
Pat Logan.
Hey.
Pat Logan, Bob. Yes.
You're not an Irishman, you're an American.
I'm an American.
That's right.
I'm an ancestor.
Yeah, your ancestor. You're descent.
Black,
white. Atta boy. Atta. Now you go. You're an American. If you're an Irishman. If you're an Irishman. If you're an Irishman, you're from Ireland. And you're not from Ireland. You're from South Boston. If you're from South Boston, you're an American. If you're from Ireland, you're Irish. You're not Irish, you're an American.
Irish-American.
You're Irish-American, but you're an American. Your nationality is American.
Right, and everybody's American.
That's right, that's born here. That's right
American.
Here, that's right.
Am I not right?
That's right, just like the late...
This is all right, and I have no... Listen,
yeah.
I could be black, white, green...
Hey, wait a minute, hey, Bob.
And I feel the same...
Hold on a second. Hold on.
No regrets.
Katie Kay's calling. I got to say so long, Bob.
Uh-huh.
So long, pal. Call for Action lends a hand every day on WBZ Boston Group W Westinghouse Broadcasting. Hello. Hello, come in if you can hear me.
Hello?
Hello?
Tap three times if you can hear me. Very good. Very good. Larry Glick.
Oh, he's not here. He stepped out a half hour ago.
He did?
Yes.
Oh, this is Perry Marshall.
Perry!
I stepped out too.
Hey, how are you, Perry?
Fine. How you doing?
Molto bene. That means very good.
Listen, can you speak up a little louder for us, please?
Yes, I can. I can hear you good for the first time.
I'm having trouble with you.
Easy, Perry.
Here we go.
This is Perry Marshall and our sister station, KDKA, Pittsburgh, PA.
That's right.
PUPA.
Larry Glick of whatever it is, WBZ Boston. Listen, Larry.
Yes.
You know why I called?
I give up.
I don't know either. I thought you knew.
No.
Oh, we have all kinds of things going here.
Tell me, Perry.
Well, you know, it's one of those heavy shows.
Come on, Perry.
We're finding 10 parts of the human anatomy that are spelled with just three-letter words.
Oh, that's kind of heavy.
Sure, well.
Go ahead. What else?
And did you ever go through this thing? There are three words in English that end in the letters G-R-Y.
G-R-Y.
Sure. I think what you ought to do is challenge your audience. And you know what will happen? Somebody who listens to both of us will call up and say, hoo-ha, I've got it.
I know two of them.
Do you?
Yeah, what's the third one?
What are the two of them?
There's angry, hungry.
And the third one is the mystery.
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha-ha.
Let me see.
Well, we're having trouble hearing you.
I'm not saying. I was just breathing, Perry. Let me see.
Okay.
G, John, help me in that one. What's the third one?
Harry?
Yeah?
You realize how many listeners we have in common?
No.
Oh, we have no common listeners.
No.
Listeners in common.
I know it.
That's right.
A lot of people call, they say our stations lap over, the signal laps over. One time they can hear me, and the next time they hear you, and they don't know what they're doing. Sometimes they get crazy. Now when they hear both of us with this little delay system, it'll really drive them crazy.
Drive them right up a wall because you're on a 10-second delay, right?
Yes.
And we're on an 8-second delay.
Oh.
Delay.
On.
The road to man's delay.
Who did you have on tonight so far?
Nobody.
What about last night?
Dr. Gilbert Holloway.
Oh, this is Dr. Gilbert Holloway touching you with a little ESP?
That's right, yes.
How'd he do?
He did very well. I liked him.
How long did you keep him on?
2 hours.
All right.
2 hours. He wanted to stay for free, I think.
I used to interview him a long time ago when I did a talk show in Miami. Mm-hmm. Do you know he had his own little church down there?
Yes, I know. He has it now in Deming, New Mexico.
Yeah, but now it's not a little church. He owns a third of the state. Give me that old-time religion. He used to have the people come down there, and he's an extremely articulate person and well-versed, and he's a salesman, to say the least.
Oh, yeah. I like Gilbert. We've been friends for a long time.
Yes.
And, I don't know, he has his detractors, but he is a guy who isn't like many of the so-called faith healers who tell you to put your faith in nobody but the good Lord and their hands.
Yes, or these faith healers that say, come to the hotel so-and-so and put a few bucks in a tube and I'll make you happy.
Well, he does that too.
Yeah, I know it.
The point is, on the air, he tells people to get good medical advice or chiropractic advice.
Yeah, these
eat well and the whole thing, right?
Yes.
It isn't all mystical with him.
Yes, well, you know, these faith healers really sometimes turn me off, Perry M., because if they have this power of healing people,
mm-hmm.
they should go, if they were that altruistic, they should go to the hospital where the people are sick and will believe anything to be healed.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't go there. They go to a hotel room. You have to come up a few bucks and give it to the usher for you, huh?
Got to make a living.
He's make a living.
I mean, would you do what you do for nothing?
Yeah, but if I had another income, I would do it. Yes.
Really?
Sure.
No, I do what I do for nothing.
Oh, I know that.
You got to see my contract.
But anyways, the thing is that, I mean, if I claim that I was a healer, that I could heal people with a mystical touch or through someone else or something else's power, the spirit, I don't think I'd set up in a hotel room and make sick people come up there.
Well, put your hand on your microphone.
I've got it on. I've got one hand on my microphone and one on my ill.
Okay, now.
Now, what do I do? Tell me. I'm cured.
You've been sick for a long time.
Yes, but now I'm cured, Perry. I feel great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, brother. I'm cured.
That's fantastic.
Sometimes I'm a little whacked out.
Oh, that's all right. What are you talking about tonight?
Well, tonight we were talking about...
We're talking about physical fitness. We're talking about the mafia.
You're
not allowed to use that word on the radio. Didn't you know that?
The Mothers and Fathers Italian Association.
That's right.
I'm having the hitman on Friday. He's the Joey, the hitman for the mafia. He'll be on Friday night.
Are you talking about the guy who wrote the book,
yeah.
Killer?
Yeah.
Yes, I've read the book.
Yeah. He'll
As
be on.
As a matter of fact, he has just written another book.
That's right.
Called the 39 hit?
38
hit.
Yeah.
I was one ahead of him.
He'll be, he's working on that. He'll be, I guess, Friday night.
He's great. Yeah.
But we don't know where he's calling from. As a matter of fact, it's really, he's going to call in. The publisher's the only one who knows it. And if the publisher gives up the number, Joey says he'll be 39.
Yeah,
he'll be
right.
The hit. So he's going to, the publisher, yeah, Joey calls us collect from wherever he is. I don't know where he is.
Uh-huh.
And then we hook it up on our line here.
You think you could ever be a hitman?
No. I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. I'm not a killer. I'm a lover.
Oh, yeah.
I want to help people.
Yeah, well, so do I.
No, I wouldn't. I don't carry a gun. I don't carry a sling. I want to bring the people together.
What do you carry besides about the credit card?
Nothing. That's it. The credit card and a couple of bucks. That's all.
You know, I don't carry credit cards.
Why?
I reached a point in my life where I found out that they were owning me instead of me owning them, and I got rid of them.
Well, I can control these things.
Well, you see, I can't do that. You're the hypnotist,
yeah,
I'm not.
That's right.
Now, if you could hypnotize me into being able to handle credit cards, I'd get them back again.
Yes, I can.
Can you do that?
Yes, I've never worked with a person on that particular problem.
You mean you've never worked with credit carditis?
No, you know, I never have. Of all the people I've seen, I've never had that. I've never worked with a person with credit cards.
It's always a first, isn't there, Larry?
Now, tell me, what do you experience when you have these credit cards? I mean, you just have a desire to go out and buy things that you don't need?
That's not that. It's
what?
Yes, it is that.
You don't even know what you're...
Yes, it is that. It's, I tend to possibly be over-generous.
Yeah.
And I can't write it off.
Okay.
Of course, I'm taking a client to lunch.
All right, here's what you do.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a course right now. There's a thing called psychodrama,
yes,
where you put yourself in a relaxed state, any method that you want,
mm-hmm,
and then picture yourself in different stages. But first, picture yourself spending all this money. Picture yourself going out and spending... when you have this uncontrollable urge.
Yeah, I like.
Yeah, and picture yourself, and then all of a sudden, picture yourself with all the bills coming in, and that feeling that you get when all the bills come in, and you know that you have overspent, and you bought things that you don't need. That's a rotten feeling.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so now.
But I.
Wait a minute.
But I've got a way to. I've got a way to pay all those bills.
Right.
I use another credit card.
Okay, so you think of that feeling, and you remember that feeling. You remember that feeling. That unpleasant feeling, it makes you feel rotten.
Yeah, right.
Okay, now, you pull the blind down that one, you blank that out.
Blank it out.
Now, you're still in this relaxed state.
Yes.
And you see yourself as this type of person who has so much self-confidence that you can do anything that you want.
Uh-huh.
You can see yourself, and you picture yourself at this time walking into a store,
uh-huh,
where you might be tempted to buy something.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden you look and you see yourself saying, no, thank you, it's a fine product and it's a good store, but note that I don't need it.
There's only one thing.
And then you, Perry, and then you see yourself smiling and being able to say no to that person.
Something wrong with that, Larry.
What?
The guy looks like me, but it ain't me.
It ain't you.
No.
If it ain't you, who is it?
I don't know.
But anyways, seriously.
No, I do understand that.
And if you could see yourself, walking out,
yes,
and say, no, thank you, I don't want it, and you walk out, you'll see yourself, you'll have a different self-image, you'll say to yourself, I feel great, and you'll see yourself walk away. Then walk into another store.
But I want...
Oh, you'd be tough, Perry.
Oh,
Perry,
no,
you'd
you know
be
what
tough.
I would do.
What?
I'd become a shoplifter.
I'd
get all the stuff, I wouldn't have to pay for it.
Oh, Perry.
Hmm?
Perry, you'd be tough to work with, Perry.
No, I've been
tough to... Oh, have you?
Oh, sure.
I never knew that. You never told me that.
Sure. Didn't I ever tell you that?
No.
When I was a teenager, I used to practice hypnosis.
No, Perry.
I did. I used to make people do all kinds
Perry,
of
things. Perry, you never told me, Perry.
Yes. And it was only after that I found out that it was comparatively easy for me to do.
Yes.
Then I started to read.
Right.
And then I found out how dangerous what I was doing is, and I've never done it since.
Ah.
Hmm?
Well, that's smart, Perry.
Well, sure. I don't think anybody should play games with hypnosis because you can do some very serious damage to people.
Well, it's just like anything else, Perry. I mean, you can do some serious damage on a radio program. You can do some serious damage driving a car or flying a plane or overeating, overdrinking.
You have to know what you're doing.
You have to know what you're doing
you
is what I'm
what
trying
doing,
to say. Yes.
I'm glad.
I
really am.
I'm glad that you
when
are.
When are you coming to Pittsburgh?
Never.
Oh.
Never. Smoky, stinky city.
Oh, no, beautiful.
Beautiful, stinky, smelly city.
It is a lovely city.
No, I'm only kidding. One day, as a matter of fact, I would take my flight.